This series deals with troubling topics including suicide, drug overdosing, and dependent adult abuse. If you or someone you know is struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, call or text 988 right now and speak with a counselor for free. Previously on The Quarterback and the Con Artist.
Can you stop investigating Courtney?
Eric Kramer calls the sheriff's office in November of 2016 and tells Detective Linkscheid to drop the criminal case against Courtney Baird.
I'm sure she cried on his shoulder and did her best song and dance and convinced him, here again, manipulating him to make that phone call. Which is consistent with my read on the whole case. He's cognitively impaired. So it's not unusual that something like that would happen. There was strong evidence to suggest that he, in fact, had been victimized, that money had been stolen, and that Courtney was responsible for doing it.
But then suddenly, in December of 2016, Courtney whisks Eric away to Santa Barbara and secretly marries him behind the backs of his friends and family.
Pretty much all they said was like, yep, that's what people do when they elope. That's pretty much what the explanation we got back.
From your dad said that, or Courtney said that, or?
Yeah, my dad said it, and then Courtney said it, and my dad was just repeating what Courtney said, and my dad obviously was not with it.
So to safeguard Eric's life, his friends and family get him into a conservatorship. But then, in a crazy, unforeseen twist, the conservatorship attorney appointed to protect Eric actually appears to Eric's family and friends to take Courtney's side, squarely putting her in the driver's seat of Eric's life from a legal standpoint, at a time when Eric basically just does exactly what he's told by anyone, especially his new wife.
Eric actually went to an attorney to sue me.
To sue you?
To sue me.
For what?
Accessing his accounts.
Oh, so making you look like the criminal. I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is The Quarterback and the Con Artist. Episode 8. She was trying her darndest.
So I visited the hospital pretty regularly, tried to go every day.
Eric's aunt, Patrice Cameron, his mother's sister, has been there from the very beginning of Eric's years-long, arduous recovery. Those first few weeks after the gunshot wound were really rough, and it looked like Eric would never be the same again, mentally and physically.
So the skull was concaved. He had to wear a helmet all the time. He looked scary, but he didn't even realize it. He didn't know how he looked, you know. He couldn't talk because he had had so much damage in his mouth, but we were trying to ascertain his brain capacity. He couldn't walk yet or any of that, but he was bedridden. But we gave him a book, a spiral notebook. And we would ask him questions, and we'd say, what's your son's name? And he'd write it down. And different questions. How old are you? When were you born? Da-da-da-da-da. So all of the stuff, he was able to write down the right answers. And we were like, oh my gosh, that's great. So we were very encouraged that he wasn't going to be a vegetable, maybe.
And as Eric starts to recover, Patrice is thrilled by his steady physical progress. And then when Courtney suddenly reappears in Eric's life, 6 months after that gunshot wound to the head, Patrice, along with everyone else, thinks this could actually be a good thing. Eric now has someone living with him and caring for him around the clock. But then Anna Durgan starts figuring out what's really going on.
She was keeping track of the credit card transactions.
And Anna sounds the alarm and gets Eric's Aunt Patrice and everyone else in Eric's life to launch a counteroffensive in an attempt to expel Courtney Baird from Eric's home and from Eric's finances and from Eric's life by getting him into a conservatorship. But Courtney always seems to stay one step ahead of this Herculean effort to oust her.
And what was your reaction? What was your feeling when you heard Courtney married Eric?
I wasn't surprised because we were getting close. And so she knew her days were numbered. So what would be her next option to get married, right? And she had somebody that would follow her and very easily influenced. My fear was that she was going to, she had a daughter. My fear was that she was going to get Eric to agree to adopt this daughter. And that would complicate things even more.
Yeah.
So I was always thinking, what if she does this or what if she does that? So the marriage was bad enough. So we were kind of on pins and needles with this other thing, which she didn't do. But she didn't act like I just got married and everything's happy, right? She didn't make any announcements to us. Nobody knew about it. And she didn't have anything. She had no job, no insurance. It was just a ploy to get into Eric's stuff. And then she ends up, I think they went to the estate planner guy and she tried to get in on the will. She was trying her darndest to get to the big stuff, so.
And make no mistake, there's a lot of big stuff to get to. Millions and millions of dollars in cash and assets. But it was protected. Courtney couldn't touch it. And since she had already depleted Eric's checking account...
I'm sorry, ma'am. That account is overdrawn.
The only way Courtney could buy things for herself and her daughter was with Eric's credit cards. Because of the meticulous and very detailed financial arrangements Eric puts into place when he plans his suicide, he established an ironclad trust with all his assets to take care of his family in the event of his death.
While he was in the hospital and getting treatment, I was taking care of the mail, sending it off to the trust, and making sure they'd pay the bills.
Anna Durgan.
But prior to them paying the bills, I would verify with his health insurance to make sure that they process the medical bills. And then the copay, I would have the trust pay.
And this is the trust Eric set up before he shot himself.
When he expected to be dead,
so
yes.
So even though he didn't die, the trust still kind of kicks in and takes care of
it. Because he was incapacitated. Right. Dr. Kerner had written that he was incapacitated. So therefore, that was the only way that the trust could take control over his finances.
So when the conservatorship for Eric Kramer goes into effect in January of 2017, his aunt Patrice is in charge. And that saves Eric a fortune by not having to hire a professional fiduciary, which can cost tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars over time.
I think initially it was done in the right way, and it did limit the theft to some degree.
But Courtney is legally and freshly Eric's wife for about a month at this point. So she still has a powerful influence over him, and he is still very much mentally incapacitated. And Eric's Aunt Patrice quickly finds herself between a rock and a hard place.
Well, it became emotional because I could see the spending. I was trying to figure out a way to limit the spending without upsetting Eric too much. I didn't want to put a limit so low that if he pulled out his credit card and it was denied, and then he would be very upset and he'd come after me about it. So anyway, we ended up getting a professional conservator. But then when I stepped away, Eric was agitating, and I don't know if it was him or it was Courtney, but we kept hearing from his attorney, oh, he wants a professional fiduciary, not his aunt. Okay, fine. But it cost him a lot of money to do that because those fiduciaries don't come cheap. And then when they need some legal advice, they get their attorney involved. So you got pay for that too. So he went from paying nobody to this big payment now.
And then things get 1,000 times worse because Eric's court-appointed attorney steps up to the plate and, as Eric recalls, tells him,
"Oh, you don't need to be conserved." And he was being influenced by Courtney.
Okay, so I've never been a huge weed person, mostly because I think dispensaries are a little overwhelming and pretentious. That's just me. You do you. But there's this company called Mood, Mood.com, that's changing the way people can buy cannabis. You know how most dispensaries make you choose between strains with ridiculous names and you have no idea which one's for you? Well, that's what Mood.com figured out. And by the way, you can get 20% off your first order with promo code Walton. If you go to Mood.com and click Shop by Mood, it'll tell you which strain does what. Want to be more social at a party? There's a flower for that. Need to focus and get work done? There's a flower for that. Want to melt into your couch and watch movies? Yep, there's a flower for that too. And here's the part few people realize. It's now 100% federally legal to have really great bud shipped right to your door. It's third-party lab tested and arrives in a discreet box. Best of all, everything's backed by Mood's 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And like I said, you can get 20% off with code Walton. So head to Mood.com and get 20% off your first order now.
And unfortunately, Eric, by this time, he looked pretty good and he spoke well and his head was fixed. So he didn't have that dip in his skull, right? And he seemed to understand what was going on. So in the lawyer's perspective, why was he being conserved? So he fought against the conservancy and said he didn't need it. He didn't talk to a doctor. He just was influenced by this Courtney because she was very good at manipulating. She's very nice looking and she says all the right things. So that was the frustrating part of this whole thing.
Now you, as the attorney,
Anna Durgan,
instead of advocating and protecting Eric, who's the victim, who's incapacitated, who you have medical records that states he can't understand what theft is happening to him, Courtney Baird is taking advantage of him, you're gonna go advocate for Courtney Baird?
But didn't he have the sheriff's investigation and the doctor's note? Like, didn't he know she confessed to stealing to Linkscheid? Didn't he know that a doctor had said he is not of capacity to handle his own affairs?
He had that information.
And he ignored it?
He said that Eric was competent.
But that's not his job.
He said Eric was competent after receiving medical records 5 days earlier that saying Eric is incapacitated.
And this new legal narrative, this idea that Eric is just fine and a conservatorship is unnecessary, plays out in a series of meetings and court hearings over the course of 2017 and 2018, and Anna Durgan is pissed and present for a couple of the big ones.
And I have the transcript here. The court-appointed attorney were saying that Eric was not under any undue influence, that in order to be unduly influenced, you have to be aware that you're being influenced. I'm not kidding you.
Wow, that's like a literal catch-22.
Right.
But then, in another stunning development, Eric's conservatorship attorney not only appears to Eric's family to side with con artist Courtney Baird,
order in the court,
but also appears to be going after them too, and Anna, casting them as the scammers, revealing in an email that he may pursue legal action against them. Anna picks up a printout of that email that the conservatorship attorney sends to the lawyer representing Eric's family on January 11th, 2017. Keep in mind, he refers to Eric as his client. Anna begins reading.
My client reserves the right to pursue legal remedies against anyone involved in identity theft, unauthorized access to his accounts, and now that he is under a personal conservatorship, anyone involved in putting him in this situation, all of which would constitute elder abuse. And note,
that I'm not referring to the unauthorized withdrawals made by my client's wife, which are already under review by the district attorney. I'm referring to actions by others, such as your clients and their cohorts.
And you're the cohort.
Because I'm the one. He had more issue with me monitoring his accounts than Courtney stealing for 8 months on his accounts.
It just sounds like he was programmed by Courtney.
He was 1,000% programmed.
Against you and against his aunt and against his sister.
When had he made one phone call to Linkshite, he would have gotten the real story, not the made-up story by the con artist.
So at this point, it appears as if not only is Courtney getting away, there she's not going to be charged, her marrying Eric was a genius move.
Absolutely.
But now she's circling the wagons to come after you, his aunt, and his sister?
Eric actually went to an attorney to sue me after that hearing, at the advice of, my understanding, the court-appointed attorney and Courtney Baird.
To sue you?
To sue me.
For what?
Accessing his accounts.
Oh, so making you look like the criminal. God, she's bold.
The court-appointed attorney was asking the court for $10,000 to $15,000 a month to pay for groceries and clothing.
Jesus.
Now, who the hell pays $10,000 to $15,000 a month on food and clothing?
But here's what makes no sense to me. It's not like this conservatorship attorney doesn't know about Courtney's history of stealing from Eric and doesn't know about the criminal investigation that theft spawned.
Courtney wrote a 3 or 4 page history of her and Eric's relationship. And in that document, she admits to the court-appointed attorney that she was stealing money from Eric's account without his permission, without his knowledge, but that they discussed it and that he was okay with it, but that she won't do it again.
And now, because she's Eric's wife, in the eyes of that court-appointed attorney, all the money she's taking isn't considered stealing. And all the people in Eric's life, like his childhood friend Anna Durgan, are the ones screwing Eric over. Anna reads now from a transcript of one of these bizarro court appearances. It appears this conservatorship attorney is trying to deflect from Courtney's actions of stealing from Eric, making Anna look like the scammer here, not Courtney.
So apparently, this Anna Durgan, or Durgan, I don't know how she does it, but she's able to access all of what's going on with my client, which is troubling. And I'm not sure how she knows. It's fair that if there's been abuse, that's correct. But this constant monitoring is troubling.
I mean, that sounds like he is defending Courtney.
He did defend Courtney. He was asking for the $10,000 to $15,000 a month. That's what she was stealing every month.
Wow.
Eric didn't know what he was spending.
But the ultimate slap in the face for justice comes when an email from Eric's conservatorship attorney ends up persuading Detective Linkshite to admonish Anna Durgan. He tells her to stop logging into Eric's bank accounts, which is how she figured out that Courtney was stealing from Eric in the first place, and how she monitored that theft over months.
This is why I don't like attorneys. They get in the way of doing the right thing to protect people.
I'm in my car now, contemplating this crazy legal system of ours that allows a con woman complete control of a mentally incapacitated man's life. I'm heading north on the 110, out of downtown Los Angeles, to the suburb of La Quinada, Flint Ridge, a sleepy part of Los Angeles County, chock full of tree-lined streets and rolling hills. When I arrive, I unpack all my recording equipment and set up at the dining room table of the woman Anna Durgan turns to for help.
My name is Lisa McCarley, and I'm a probate and conservatorship attorney in Los Angeles County. I work throughout Southern California. You'll recognize my name and my face if you are following the Free Britney movement. I was the attorney that helped unravel the scandalous conservatorship of Britney Spears.
Gosh, and that just went in and out forever, and it was a cause du jour, sort of, that everyone got behind. It appeared as if Britney was being held against her will and had no control over her life or finances. Pop icon Britney Spears is famously put into a conservatorship against her will for years until a Free Britney movement erupts back in 2020. Across the country, thousands of protesters take to the streets, demanding the County of Los Angeles free Britney Spears from her conservatorship. And lawyers from all walks of life step in and step up and make it happen. Lawyers like Lisa McCarley. So you helped free Britney.
I certainly did. The scandal of what happened to Britney Spears is actually a book that I'm working on right now.
Titled A Lawyer for Britney, slated for release this year.
But Britney did not belong in the conservatorship, not for a day. And what the LA County Probate Court did to her really should be reviewed by agencies. And I'm still going to pursue that, even though technically Britney's conservatorship is over.
When Anna Durgan seeks out Lisa McCarley's help, years have gone by. And con artist Courtney Baird has stolen a fortune from Eric, and she's still getting away with it.
Anna Durgan explained that the family had discovered Eric had been exploited by a woman, girlfriend, turned wife, and she's asking me, we can't believe that it got worse when we went to probate court. We had been robbed, he had been stolen from, we had the documentation, we had a detective, we had the medical records, but the court-appointed attorney sided with the bad lady, and she couldn't believe it. And I had to sit there and say, yeah, it's pretty much what they do all the time. Attorneys are not motivated to speak out about this broken system because the judges that we have to criticize are the judges that make decisions about compensation.
Have you ever heard of the phrase chivalry theory?
Not chivalry, but go ahead.
It was coined back in the 1950s by the sociologist who said law enforcement, the law, and the actors in the law, judges, police officers, lawyers, are predisposed to act in a chivalrous manner toward women because they're viewed as, you know, classically the weaker sex, or they need protecting, or they should be believed, or the damsel in distress. So 9 out of 10 times, if it's between a woman and a man situation, they're going to side with the woman. They're going to bend over backwards to accommodate the woman. Women get lighter sentences for the same crime. Women are treated sort of with kid gloves by the legal system in a lot of respects, the theory goes, chivalry theory. And in this case, it kind of reeks of it because here you have evidence of what's happening in real life, and yet she's able to convince this attorney, no, this is our money, and I'm his wife, and I love him, and he bought it.
Right, he bought it.
But Lisa McCarley frankly admits, in her world, chivalry theory is not really applicable.
It may be true in the criminal courts that they try to treat women more gently, but I did and I do often observe that women in probate court, the sister,
Eric's sister, Kelly,
the aunt,
Eric's aunt, Patrice,
these beloved relatives, the best friend,
Anna Durgan,
were completely ignored. And that is another pattern that I observe in probate court versus the white older man who comes, the court-appointed attorney. In spite of all of the evidence of brain injury, the women were not considered to be as reliable witnesses, and their requests were summarily, yeah, maybe, but Eric doesn't really want that. And that's a pattern that I observe. A lot.
Like women are ignored.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, badly so. In other words, that it's almost like in probate court, if the white older man who's the court-appointed attorney in most cases versus all of your female relatives that you could line up. You know, they're saying the conservatorship is needed. The court will generally do what the court-appointed attorney. In fact, they feel they act as if they're mandated to do what the court-appointed attorney tells them to do.
When they are not.
They're not mandated. No, that would be the last person. And this all goes to the super dysfunction of the court system and what these attorneys are told to do versus what they should be doing. And this is exactly what I've been advocating for in terms of reform. So the court-appointed attorney is told that he is supposed to be the zealous advocate and tell the court what Eric wants. And of course, Eric, having been injured, having a traumatic brain injury, is very easy to unduly influence and to persuade. I mean, he was persuaded to get married. And in real life, very few people just disappear into Santa Barbara or go to the courthouse. Very few people just suddenly decide to get married, especially very few affluent people.
What Lisa McCarley is getting at here is the fact that most wealthy people, people with millions of dollars in the bank, people with multiple homes and assets, only get married after weeks and even months of negotiating a prenup agreement with teams of attorneys. So the fact that Eric gets married, lickety-split, under a shroud of secrecy is very suspect.
So that absolutely was a red flag for the rest of the world. But in probate court, when this happens, and it does, and this is to me one of like the red flags of elder abuse, in this case, they just bought off, like Eric says he wanted to do this. And of course, the other red flag is just prior to this elopement / kidnapping, I would see it more like a kidnapping than an elopement, she was made aware that there were going to be allegations of financial elder abuse or abuse of a dependent adult. So she knows, everyone knows that if you're the spouse, then, you know, and your spouse says, oh no, this is fine, then that's a way of kind of getting away with the crime. And I see that pattern over and over again. Eric expressed, I don't want Courtney prosecuted, I'm happily married, even though we all know that it was the result of fraud and undue influence. The court-appointed attorney interpreted his job as being protective of Eric's wishes instead of the reality of what was being done to Eric.
I mean, she was telling him what to wish.
100%. That's the undue influence. And I've screamed about this. So we have a vulnerable person who is parroting the language, the vernacular of his or her abuser. And then the court-appointed attorney takes down the language of the vulnerable person and parrots that to the judge. So basically what the judge is listening to as the primary message is the wishes and the language of the abuser. And the judge says, oh, he doesn't want a conservatorship. Unbelievable.
It's like a con artist game of telephone.
Exactly. And the judges are in on it. Judicial officers, instead of, as you and I immediately picked up on, the red flag of she's facing accusations of financial abuse in a criminal context, and they run off and elope, kidnap. She kidnaps him. You and I recognize that right away. And a judge doesn't? It's insane. It's insane.
It seems like such a broken, corrupt system.
Yes, and it still is. And I still have to tell people when they are worried about mom or dad, I said, well, if they're unduly influenced, I said, there is a chance that the court-appointed attorney is going to write a report telling the judge what to do, and they will basically be adopting the position of the abuser.
Who's like programming them how to feel, what to say.
100%.
Wow. But life is a truly funny and fascinating thing. And just because things seem to be heading in one direction doesn't mean they can't turn on a dime. While con artist Courtney Baird appears to be getting away with everything, ironically, she's running out of Eric's money. The money she has access to, anyway.
Now, at this point, there's no more money that Courtney can get to.
Anna Durgan.
All the other money's in the trust. The credit card's maxed out. Then she was going for the other credit card that had a $40,000 limit, and she was just charging up there. So there was no more cash to get, no more physical money to get, other than credit card cash advances. The only way that Eric can get access to his trust money is by getting evaluated by a doctor to say that he has capacity. Unbeknownst to me, but I found out that he was getting evaluated, and it's a long process. It's not like, oh, just go to the doctors. Oh yeah, you have capacity. It's, you have to do 8-hour testing. And
wow.
It's really from a neuropsychologist. I found out who the name of the neuropsychologist that was testing him, Dr. Tomaszewski. I gave that information to Detective Linkscheid. Linkscheid calls that doctor and gives them everything that's been happening. All that information is in the Dr. Tomaszewski's report.
So he does not find Eric has capacity?
No, because he said in his report, Eric cannot comprehend the theft that is occurring.
And then was this Courtney trying to get him evaluated?
Had to be, because right? He had no more money. He had no access.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know that
he doesn't even know how his bills are being paid. He didn't even know that he had bills.
So it had to be Courtney trying to get him evaluated so she could get her hands. And now we're talking millions and millions of dollars in that trust.
That's what I'm saying.
God. Thank God that doctor like did his job, right?
I love Dr. Tomaszewski. Such a brilliant guy.
But then, all of a sudden, while this back and forth about trusts and mental capacity and conservatorships is going on, Eric sort of comes to. His brain suddenly starts working again.
Almost 3 years from the time that Eric shot himself. So the brain is starting to rewire itself, starting to heal, starting to do whatever it needed to do in order to understand or get a little bit more comprehension.
And in that magical moment of increased comprehension, Eric has a realization. He never wanted to marry Courtney Baird. She took him to that courthouse and tricked him into it. And the reasons he broke up with her in the first place years earlier come flooding back. And Eric finally understands that she's been stealing from him. So Eric confronts Courtney and tells her he wants a divorce and he wants her out of his house and he never wants to see her ever again. But instead of leaving,
911, what's your emergency?
Courtney calls 911 and makes up a lie that Eric assaulted her. And then, moments later, the cops show up and Eric Kramer makes national headlines.
Former NFL quarterback Eric Kramer is in jail tonight, arrested at his Los Angeles area home on domestic violence charges.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, call or text 988 right now and speak with a counselor for free. It's so important to get the Eric Kramer story out there and into the public sphere because con artist Courtney Baird is not an anomaly. There are horrendous human beings just like her everywhere, scamming vulnerable people right now. Help me spread this important story by sharing it with your friends and family and by leaving us a 5-star review. Because 5-star reviews tell that magical podcast algorithm to include us at the top of search results and prioritize our placement. The Quarterback and the Con Artist is produced, written, and hosted by me, Jonathan Walton, for Jonathan Walton Media. Executive producers Eric Kramer and Anna Durgan. Audio engineering by Justin Longerbeam. Editing and sound design by Hansdale Shi. Legal counsel provided by Ken Sterling from Sterling Media Law. We've got a lot of incredible stories in the works at Jonathan Walton Media, so make sure you subscribe and keep an ear out.